Want to try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com. Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
What's up, friends, and welcome in to In This League, the fantasy baseball podcast. I am Chris Welsh, a.k.a. The. Over there is the Scott Bogman, the official Scott Bogman. That'd be a good Twitter handle. The official Scott
Bogman. The official Scott Bogman? Well, I'm sure exactly. Someone's going to go take it now, so appreciate that.
Scott Bogman, yeah. Official.
The original Scott Bogman, yeah.
You know what makes me laugh, too? I just saw this tonight. It's like Lisa Ann. You know Lisa Ann. We all know Lisa Ann.
Who is that? I'm not familiar.
she's a sports analyst, actually.
Show. I'll have to look her up. Oh, my. She is very attractive. Look at that.
Spell it all the way out. Analyst. And Lisa Ann posts all these times about these accounts. These fake accounts. She's like, got another one. And it's like, you know, whatever. It's like Lisa Ann official, and it's all the pictures and stuff. Yeah. It's like these dirtbags that create these fake accounts.
Lisa Ann official 1234789010. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're like the ones that'll be like, oh, you know, just give us your credit card information. And I keep thinking about that as soon as you said, like, oh, there's going to be Twitter handles. They're just going to be all these like Bogman official, the real Bogman, Scott Bogman. Yeah. And all these official accounts will be out there. We do have parody accounts, by the way, that have completely stayed dormant. I think there's a Nice Guy Bogman account, and there is...
What are you doing?
I'm sorry.
What the f*** are you doing? What are you doing right now?
Edit.
Sorry, but what are you thinking?
I don't know. I don't think I've ever had one either, too, by the way. I think there's like...
What are you doing right now?
Well, I'm just saying. I think there's like...
How tired are you? You are so tired. You were saying crazy things. Stop it. What are you doing?
I'm really, really tired. I'm really tired.
God, man.
All right. Today on the episode, by the way, the real Scott Bogman and Is It the Welsh are going to be presenting to you our bold predictions for the year. And we have got some big ones, Boggs.
Sorry, I just moved my remote here and my cat. Freaked out.
Saw you almost spit up a drink and it made me laugh. I'm loopy. I'm a little bit loopy today.
It's a late one for me. We're 2 hours different.
Yeah, I know. It's very late for you. It's bold prediction time here on ITL. We've got 5 bold predictions on the positive. We've got 5 bold predictions on the negative, and we have got 5 deep league bold predictions. Some are going to be predictable. I tried to throw a couple out that I've been kind of marinating on. You guys are going to know a couple of them out there. But the other key is going to be how bold, how low can you go? How bold can you go, Bogman? How bold do you think you went? Do you have one that was like, you know?
Yeah, I have one like that was pretty like
you took a rhino and you're just like, here we go.
A little bit. Yeah, I also have a very funny one that I believe you'll enjoy. So
I think I saw it already. Does it have to do with someone named Schmyron Schmuckston?
It does not. No, that's not the funny one. That's just a true one that will happen.
That's the troll one. That's the troll.
No, true. You mispronounced it. T-R-U-E.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I saw
one. It will happen. You can put money on it.
Right. It's very ironic about this because this true one about this Schmyron Schmuckston, it just so happens on our show sheet, I put one that was very anti-Bogman. And just
after I did the Byron Buxton one,
way. Bogman appeared on the sheet and then put the Schmyron Schmuckston one on.
That
right
was the
after
first one I wrote down. It was there when you put that other one there. That's why attacking. I thought you put the first one there. But anyway, let's go.
Attacking. You're attacking. I don't.
I'm
like
not
it.
Attacking.
I don't
I'm like reacting. Where this is
going. Okay. All right. Well, bold predictions.
Lies and slander. Lies and slander.
We did a bold. Did we do a bold predictions last year? God knows where those were. If we were.
Oh, I don't know where that went. Do we really want to revisit the past anyway? Well, I can't imagine those went very well for us. So
we're always looking for the future. I'm just curious. Like, did we get one? Did we get one or two?
No idea, dude. I'd have to go. Let me scroll through here while you're reading stuff, and I'll see if I can find anything.
Yeah, you think we even did a sheet? That'd be amazing here. But we do want to tell you guys that this episode is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Promo code ITL. What's the promo code? ITL. Do that on your first deposit. Once you download the app, you are going to get a 100% match up to 100% deposited. Free dollar bills, y'all. You guys can still jump into all of their awesome contests they've got for best ball. And we are like 2 weeks away from pick'em season, where you can go and, you know, 3-4 players on different quote prop, you know, like over unders, if you will. It's an awesome, awesome game. And you might even think that you can't get access to the app and all the cool games, but believe me, you can in lots of places. Bogman and I both can, and it doesn't work both ways. I can't do NFBC here. Bogman can't do gambling. We can both do Underdog Fantasy. So go to your app store, download it, use the promo code ITL, hook the boys up. We would appreciate it. And let's get rocking, because next week, I think it's on Tuesday, Bogman and I are going to put together one of those higher dollar best balls just before the season starts up, so you can play with us. So go and do it today. Promo code ITL, Underdog Fantasy. Do it today. Oh my God, the WBC was phenomenal. I lost money at the end too, by the way. I had a USA Futures that obviously did not cash. I had a small little like home run for Mookie, which did not play, but I did play the under in the first five, but I ended up losing the futures one, which was my big bet at the end of the day. But that was hands down, and I had a great WBC gambling site. It was hands down the best World Baseball Classic and maybe the best jumpstart the baseball season could have. I can't think of a better jumpstart. The last WBC was fun. I don't remember it being one iota this magical, from every moment to Trey Turner's grand slam that took U.S. back to the walk-off homer for Japan against Mexico to get in to the final at bat. Shohei Ohtani. I mean, it's literally
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
movie. Shohei Ohtani versus Mike Trout. He's hitting 102, and he hits him with a slider to end the game, and Japan wins.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door. After that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you
be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more? Let me tell you something about
In This League.
Obviously, all of us Americans were very, very upset seeing not America win, but it was maybe one of the coolest baseball moments of all time.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was a great event, and I don't understand people that don't like it. You know, some guys got hurt during this event.
Yeah,
but
I think
a lot
it's
of
the guys,
guys
that got hit on the hand and injured and snapped their legs and stuff like that. That's the reasons.
Yeah, I understand, but that stuff happens in spring training, and
those same people also complain about spring training. I just point out, like the same, like those aren't individual.
Well, then let's never
people.
Do anything. Let's just hang out in a bubble. And Jake Gyllenhaal, the bubble boy.
Yeah, no, they should never practice, because what would happen, this would be the best thing too, because I don't think those people are separate. I think the spring training complainers are also the WBC complainers, and I don't think there's an individualized person. But then what you get is, okay,
I'm over here now, thinking like, let's make a tournament out of spring training. How do we do that?
Sure, why not?
Because this was fun.
But now
WBC was great.
You would have these guys who don't practice at all, and they would get injured immediately, and then those same people complain, be like, where's the lead up? How are we going to get these guys set for the season? It's like, you can't make those people happy to go out of your way to hate this tournament, especially after what are we doing? Like, this is baseball. Like, what are we doing here? There was only one negative I had across the board was I hated that they were using the old baseball rules while new baseball
it
was
came
doing
for so long.
Well, not even that it was so long. I got to be honest with you. I actually think it kind of gave the new rules a little bit of a bad look. If you don't think about the time, and obviously it was like an hour less at least, there's just something a little bit more you really kind of can appreciate a little bit more. Is like baseball players have a little bit more time to prep. There's a little bit more breathing room in baseball. There was all that, but like having where these guys could shift and there was no pitch clock and stuff like that. And then over here in spring training, they're doing that. I thought that was stupid, but I don't care. Like I'm only bringing it up because we literally just talked about it. It's not something I'd be like, all right, I'm going to go past my character limit on Twitter to let everybody know about
how
I feel about
nits.
This.
You're picking nits with it at that point. Yeah. Everything was great. You know, the results, obviously we were disappointed, but Japan is awesome. All the biggest stars in Japan were playing for the Japanese team.
Dude.
So take note of that, America. Let's go, you know.
Well, I think the players also made a big kind of stink about that after the game. I think it was like Arenado or Betts or something was like, all the superstars and all the stars should be playing in these games, and there's really no excuse. But one of the things I loved out of it, too, is like this bigger advent of like Baseball Savant and everything that's come up. We get such a deeper look inside of these players. And, you know, when I were doing this over on Rates and Barrels, but like Roki Sasaki, was insane. Like the guy was insane with a 92 mile an hour splitter, which I think he was averaging 91.5. He had, check this out, dude, of the 64 pitches he threw, 33 had swings on them. And then it was like, you know, half of those were whiffs. He had like 13 or 17 whiffs or some absurd number. And this being able to like get more of the breakdowns, I thought was really cool. On
how about
players
nobody
that,
hitting a ball harder than Ohtani and no one throwing a ball harder than Ohtani,
which is absurd. We got to see Soto Amanaga, I think he was the pitcher that started for Japan. He's the guy that Eno had said broke his stuff plus. He had the number one stuff plus or stuff plus fastball in all of the WBC at the time.
The Togo guy came in through the middle of the lineup and carved everybody up. He was great.
He was wild, dude. And they're also talking a lot of and like really crazy analytical stuff. You get like, you know, induced vertical break, which Togo completely broke. And you also saw Imanaga do that as well. And just seeing all the stats and just seeing all of the splitters, that was another thing where everyone was like, look at the success that the Japanese pitching staff had and the amount of splitters were out there. And there's kind of a lot of like divisiveness around that in general. So I don't know. I just thought it put baseball on a really interesting display. And we've sat so much while trying to talk about fantasy baseball so much. We've also kind of talked about like baseball is doing a lot of these changes and stuff so we can make the game more accessible and more watchable for a lot of people. And it's just like, you just want to see the best out there and you want to be able to analyze it. And we want to be able to analyze it the best. And I don't know if I walked away feeling like, man, I'm going to be romantic about, you know, more breathing room between plays and stuff like that. Or if I'm going to just settle right into, you know, 15 seconds in between pitches and stuff like that. And by the way, did you see also baseball was like, hey, by the way, we're going to announce some changes to those rules right before the season starts. Like, give me a, what are we doing here? I hope they say we're turning the bases back and we got rid of the clock and the shift is back also.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? No changes. Same as last year.
Here's our change.
Weird baseballs, down. Different baseballs all over the nation. How about that too? Some are rocks, some are tennis balls. It's going to be a great time.
You know, actually, I think that would be kind of a fun thing. What if home field advantage became about like different baseballs that were like created
the home team got to choose like either the rock baseball or the bouncy ball. Yeah.
Like it's becoming like basketball. It's like in Colorado, we dip the balls in mustard before we throw pitches.
Five runs if you hit it past the meatballs. So, you know,
That's where baseball's moving to. They're slowly trying to make it a little bit easier.
That's a joke from Futurama where Fry wakes up in the year 3000. They go to watch a Blurns ball game and he's like, what's Blurns ball? And they're like, they jazzed up baseball around the 2300s. And he's like, baseball, because it was so boring. Baseball wasn't boring. They jazzed it up, huh? Okay, cool. Let's see.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they're attempting to do. But WBC is finally over. All the guys are going to go back, though. There are some other reactions. I saw right after this. This is going to be one of those little tiny quirky things where people are going to roll their eyes. Right after the game, Yu Darvish said that he's in contact with the Padres, but is unsure if he's now going to be ready for opening day. And it's like, that's the type of stuff that is going to infuriate people that you were doing this entire, you're in this entire tournament and you're not ready for it. I mean, if he can get back in time, which he should, like Julio Urias is scheduled to pitch on Friday and he was eliminated on Tuesday. In theory, Yu Darvish should be able to put up like a full go on Saturday or Sunday. So what part of that is because he just didn't pitch enough with Japan? Like being ready is
But that's also him just complaining about his role on Team Japan. You know, sorry, Darvish, you're no longer the best pitcher in Japan. So you don't get to throw whenever you feel like it, whenever you want. So,
boy,
I love Darvish.
Was he even the third best on that team?
I mean, that is what his peak is.
I mean, Ohtani was a lights out.
I don't know if
Roki.
He's even the third best. Those two are definitely better. So I don't know, you know, and I still love Darvish. I just drafted him in our NL only. So, but I mean, what does also not ready mean? Does that mean he throws four innings instead of five his first start and then he's fine after that? That's probably what it is. So
I think it's possible. I think the Padres have talked about a 6-man rotation too, which maybe they push. I don't know, but it's just stuff that like you just want is positive of outcomes out of this as you can. Like you don't want guys getting little scratches. Like one of the best things that could happen in this lineup tonight as we're recording this is that Arenado was able to come back after getting hit and he like immediately was taken out of the game. And by the way, thumbs up trip to Bobby Witt Jr. who literally skipped all of spring training to pinch run like twice. I feel bad for him. Barely doing anything on that team, but
hard
like
to take Arenado, Trey Turner and Arenado off the field, you know?
Yeah, well, no, I totally agree, but like they didn't find anything ever for him. It was Tim Anderson at second. But my point is like Arenado getting back in the lineup was a good thing because that was one of those negatives where it was like, oh, crap, which is going to take us to some news. There's a ton of news and notes. I don't know if just a bunch of stuff has happened since the last episode or not, but there's a lot of stuff looming out there. Obviously, the biggest one we haven't talked about a whole bunch. Jose Altuve broke his hand in the WBC. He's going to be having surgery and the timeline looks about now 6 to 8 weeks for in season because it was
middle of May is the earliest is what we've heard. So
assume June 1st is the one that's going to happen. David Hensley. I think it's Hensley. You have Henley on here. I think it's David Hensley. Is it Hensley? I could be wrong about that.
No, I probably just mistyped it.
Yeah, it's Hensley. David Hensley. By the way, the 6'6" second baseman is up for the job. And I don't even think I realized Mauricio Dubon.
Is it O'Neill Cruz's cousin? Is that who that is? David Hensley?
Well, yeah, I mean, they could be cousins, probably from a like white man can't jump perspective. But David Hensley decent contact guy, stolen some base, had a pretty good spring, would be out there. And then Mauricio Dubon, those would be the two guys would be splitting time. You know, when I talked about this a ton on like rates and barrels, at the end of the day, as cool as Hensley is, Hensley's an option in our AL. We're doing our AL NL Masters. We're currently drafting right now, which is the only entry league we did in ITL this year. And it's crazy. It's a crazy league that we do. It's 16 teams, AL, and then an NL draft.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and...
Littering and...
Littering and
smoking...
In this league.
Break it down.
And it's actually kind of cool because it's like if one guy gets traded in your AL, you get to NL, you get that guy on your NL roster. He's an option there. But for people that lost him, lost Jose Altuve in really any other format, like, he's not the guy that I'm turning to. I'm not turning to Dubon. I'm not turning to Hensley. There are just better options out there, even into the third. Like, Brendan Donovan is someone that's probably readily available for you in leagues. That's probably the place that you're going to have to go to, you know, reassemble whatever you can statistically. It's not those guys, but those are the guys that are going to take over. Theoretically, they might split some time in between, but they're going to be hitting .900 for the Astros. And I just don't think they're really the options to look at until they tell us otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, you can do much better than this combo of guys for the Astros. So I think Brendan Donovan, if he's available, that's a great option. He's crushing spring right now. You know, multiple position eligibility, that's a great option. So
let me ask you this. This was the one that has caused a lot of debate here, is Altuve himself and what you do with him. What was your initial, because when did this injury go down? I want to sort this. Was this like, it wasn't this Monday. It was like last Monday. So I'm going to go the 15th.
It was Monday. Bard hit him. Bard hit him in the hand on Monday against Venezuela, right? Cause Mexico because we played Venezuela and then Mexico played Japan, right?
Was it really?
Yeah, it was just a couple days ago.
2 days. Okay. Well, I mean, my brain, I guess, doesn't work. I feel like
that... Cuba. You're right. So it happened on Saturday.
Okay, cool. I want to add one more in here because my whole point of this is trying to add like a couple extra drafts in here. So there were three drafts on Draft Champions during that time. Where do you think Altuve went? Because I have it pulled up. Three Draft Champions on NFBC.
120.
You're really good. 121. You almost nailed that. And that is actually...
he was going around 50 or 60 before that. So,
sometimes he's going in the 20s. It's crazy how high he was going. What's fascinating about that is when Eno and I were talking, he was almost insinuating like the 180s. I was pushing the late 90s to like 110, 115 seemed like the spot.
Yeah, if you would have asked me where I was going to take him, I probably would have said somewhere around 100.
Okay, because... in this, his low was 177 of the three drafts, and his high was 96 of one of those three drafts. And I'm curious, are you willing to do what I brought up? Are you willing to do the I take Altuve at, let's just call it 120, and then I pair him with a Ketel Marte?
Sure.
Or are you a skip altogether and don't worry about Altuve?
No, like I understand the trepidation. Hand wrist injuries can sap power. They can set you back, all that stuff. They're going to baby him. Like you said, middle of May at the earliest, probably closer to June 1st. If you just assume June 1st and go from there, then fine. Yeah. And you don't even have to take someone as high as Ketel. You can take someone a little bit lower. And then just if that guy's not hitting, dump him and take somebody, pick up somebody else off the wire that is, that qualifies at second, you know, and just play that rotational spot until you get Altuve back if you have IL spots. So, yeah, I'm more than willing to draft Altuve, and I would do it before 120. I think, you know, 100, 110, somewhere in that neighborhood to make sure I got him. If I wanted him,
yeah,
that was my plan at second. Yes.
That's my sweet spot because I think inside the top 100, it's not great. That's why, like, this is really funny. The other piece of news that's injury based, I don't know if you saw this, but the Phillies said that they are not putting Bryce Harper on the 60-day IL. And that's got a lot of people kind of upright right now because they can retroactive it, but if they're sitting out the possibility that he's going to be able to hit and play sooner rather than later, it opens up the possibility of his draft status being different. And I have had Bryce Harper a decent amount higher than most people because my mental side of those type of guys are, as soon as you get outside the top 100, I think it's fair game. Like, if you're playing in a much deeper league, okay, maybe you only have, you know, 7 guys on your roster and need to be a little bit harder. But if you're playing on 12-man or 10-man, and regardless of it, like, I just think after 100, you're starting to get into open season. And I think you're going to see Harper start pushing back up during those same drafts, just since I have them up for reference here. Harper went 187 with a high of 177. I think that's going to push inside the 150 easy.
I got him at 149 on my ranks, and that's where I've had him for a while. And look, I don't necessarily think that them not putting him, starting him on the 60 means anything, because like you said, you can retroactively. And why wouldn't you do that? If there's any outside tiny little itty bitty baby shot that he'll be back before that 60 days, you want him back before that 60 days. So of course that's the move you make. I think it would be absurd to do that. The only time that you put a guy, it's like Tariq Skubal, you know, he's not coming back. He just had TJ. So put him on the 60 and you're done, you know? So that's
fine. They might feel comfortable with him getting back at DH. I mean, they pretty openly, and he has also talked about it, like, he's not going to play in the outfield this year. He's going to be a DH all season. That's what he's going to do. And maybe the recovery process and the bat is going quicker along. So I think both of those guys are outside the top 100. Who would you rather have, though? Would you rather have Util Harper, who they might be on the same timeline right now? Theoretically, if we want to look at June 1st, these guys might be on the same timeline here. Who would you rather draft right now? Second base or Util? Obviously, knowing Harper is a more valuable piece, but not positionally.
I Altuve still. I think he's probably guaranteed to get back sooner. They're not going to baby him as much as the Phils should with Harper. And second base, man. Second base is tough. So, yeah, it's still Altuve for me.
Yeah, I think I agree. And Altuve, like I said, if I were to jump into it, how I would approach it is taking him and then being really aware after to try to get another one of those guys. Not that, like, I think, you know, Cattell's going to go soon, but if I had the opportunity and my roster made sense, I wouldn't mind getting a Max Muncy with it too. Because Max, you could move around. He can be your second baseman for that time being. But you, once Altuve comes up, you can move. You can move Muncy around. I think he's got third base eligibility. So that, I think, is an extra good factor. You don't want to, like, clog up your entire roster paying attention to it. But if you feel good of where you're at and how you can control your team, I think you can do it. And I wouldn't be afraid to, but it's probably outside the top 100. Here is the biggest scare before we start getting into more burning pieces of news and then getting to our bold predictions. Juan Soto was playing as they described it, a B game. And there's two things that happen. There are minor league spring training games, which go on around 1 o'clock here. And then there's these B games, which happen usually around 11 o'clock. Those are usually on camp days. So I think this might have been an inter squad camp day type of game that he was playing in. Doesn't really matter. But he pulls up lame and gets immediately taken out of the game during this. This is just coming off of him coming back from the DR, which, by the way, he was late to go because he was suffering from an injury. And they said it was a mild thing. I think they even told us it was an oblique, but it was a mild oblique. And this started to come up, not to do it again, but Eno and I were kind of yapping about this. And his concern was maybe he's not a first rounder. Well, news today is that he is going for an MRI on this supposed mild oblique strain, which is a massive warning sign right now. I mean, the oblique strain for Suzuki took him out, what, like 6 weeks, 8 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, I am just furious about this, too, because yesterday, right before we start the NL draft, and I have pick 4, by the way, they said mild, day-to-day, seriously no big deal. And then I draft Soto this morning in the first round at pick 4. And then I get to go get like, the sheet ready. They're like, well, we hope it's mild. We're going to send him for an MRI now and all that stuff. And I don't like going into the league with any league with an injured player. And now maybe my first round pick is going to miss some time. So it is absolutely infuriating.
You know, that news was said with a high pitch. They're like, well,
a bleak.
So I legit, if I was drafting right now. I'm going to agree with where Eno was. I'm not taking him in the first round. I think there's too much risk. And you could argue, like, what's the difference between taking him, like, missing out on him and just taking someone else? And is there really a safe pick? But like you said, like, obliques are weird. And
they're weird.
Eno described them as, like, these injuries where it's like you kind of don't know until you start messing around with it. And it's like, oh, it's not good. You can't go. And we saw how bad it's with Suzuki.
Let's see how low you go here. Soto or Witt?
Right now with the current news, I think I might go Witt.
Soto or Vlad?
I think I go Vlad.
Soto or Trout?
That's a really good one. I think I go Trout right now.
Soto or Machado?
Man, I don't want to be an alarmist. I'm sounding like a big
no,
alarmist,
but
dude.
Just your gut instinct. Just immediately.
I think
don't
it's
think
Machado
it.
Right
okay,
now.
Now here's the real test for you: Soto or Cole?
I would go Soto.
There we go. All right.
Yeah. So I think he's like a 16
right before the pitchers. Yeah.
Like he's like 16, so he's just out of the first round. If I had a wheel pick. Like, I think I can justify it a little bit, maybe a little bit more, you know, just because I'm getting inherent value. I kind of did that in early drafts in TGFBI and I think it was Tout with Jordan Alvarez because his, you know, everyone was worried about the wrist and stuff. And I got him on the wheel and it looks like it's worked in my favor. These all aren't going to work out. Just right. The inherent risk of going into a season with an injury that could sideline
in
him
the
a month.
First round. Yeah. I mean, just don't do it. Yeah. If you haven't drafted yet, and this is why I love to wait until the very end of spring training to draft my teams, because Soto's out, maybe. Altuve's out. Darvish may not start on time. There's all kinds of other injuries and moves that we've had that have happened. I mean, Profar might be a leadoff hitter now.
That's what they're saying. He's going to be a leadoff with the Rockies.
Yeah.
You know what I'd say?
Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil. Next, I take an ice bath. Ooh, feeling super healthy.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com. Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
If you don't want to be super alarmist, I could be cool with taking him after Freddie Freeman. Like, I got to take Mookie Betts and Freeman above him, and then I could jump in. If I want to be less alarmist, but there's no way in this current state I'm taking him over like Kyle Tucker right now. Now, if they say it's day-to-day and he'll be good for the season, then let's just move on. Though I would say two injuries in spring training have me a little bit concerned going into the year, but let's move on as normal. If he's going to miss any time, even a 2 week or a month, then we're going to react accordingly. I think 2 week puts him.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Somebody royally forked up.
Why can't I say fork?
If you're trying to curse, you can't hear.
Cool shirt.
Holy mother forking shirt balls.
You know, you're going to get into that, like, probably where I said, even the 2-weeker, I think, is right around Cole, because we know we're missing like 3 weeks out of Tatis a month. Then we're going to be moving him down a little bit further. This could air and it's all good. These are just different examples of what's going on, but it is like some brutal stuff that we're all holding our breath, because there's always that one. This is that one right before the season that we're all holding our breath on what the hell's going to happen. And unfortunately, it's probably not the player. Yeah. Not the player anyone was expecting. Some other big news. Vaughn Grissom was optioned to minor league camp. Hilariously, the team had said, him or Shoemaker are going to make the roster, and they optioned them both. And it's now Orlando Arcia. So they hate him. They hate Vaughn Grissom.
Here's the thing, too. Here's the thing that makes this the worst to me. You know what Vaughn Grissom was hitting in spring training?
Oh, yes. I think it's 371.
371. Matt Olson, who
That's
is hitting
pull by me,
438.
By the way,
great. Matt Olson, who's hitting 438, is the only guy on his team hitting better than Vaughn Grissom. Shoemake hitting 323, by the way. Orlando Arcia is hitting 240 with one homer. He has five walks and six strikeouts.
Clearly,
I guess
it's
that's
a defensive
better.
Thing. Clearly, it's a defense thing.
Clearly, it's crazy, is what it is. I don't understand what is happening here. It doesn't make any sense to me. Take a bat off the field for some defense, I guess, but that's nuts to me. I cannot
believe. Yeah, it's pretty baffling, and unfortunately, I have a really hard gauge on this, because like I think there's a lot of guys that are little prospects, like Brandon Fott is one of those. Like, he got sent down, it's super stupid, but he's one of those guys I think is going to be back up soon. You would assume Grissom would, but like, I don't know. Why are they sending him down? Is his defense that bad? Are they going to play him at short down? Why, like, if they're going to play him at short to get more reps down there, why not just do it up here? Is it that bad? And if he's going to work in a new position, then where the hell does he play? So I really just don't know the state of Vaughn Grissom right now. Really, really hated that one. Speaking, I mentioned him, Jordan Alvarez is going to theoretically make his spring training debut any day now, which is going to just like curtail all the concerns. And that's where you're going to see Alvarez going above Juan Soto, I think, pretty easy. People won't, you know, be mixing up the injuries. And speaking of injuries, Jacob DeGrom did not get injured in his spring debut. He came out flanging some pitches. I think there were four strikeouts, three or four innings. I think he threw 34 pitches, a whole bunch of strikes again, no walks. He was as efficient as he was in that that first minor league game I saw in the backfield, the B-side, B-squad game, versus what he did in spring training. It was all the same. Interesting, you noted that Mitch Garver caught him in the game that I watched. Jonah Heim caught him. So I was wondering if there's going to be any like special catcher, and there's not.
Well, it's just nice that Garver is catching, because he didn't catch last year like you took the whole year. So maybe he'll get catcher eligibility pretty quick. That'd be nice.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one. All right, burning through some other ones. We got this one today. Carson Kelly with the Diamondbacks, fractured forearm, is going to start the year on the IL. Looks like he's going to miss 6 to 8 weeks. Not to be morbid, but it's Gabriel Moreno season.
Let's go. What do you mean not to be morbid? You're just that Carson Kelly got hurt? Whatever. Let's go, Gabby. Let's get it. I am excited about this. You know, it sucks for Kelly. I don't hate Kelly or anything, but like, every time I look at Carson Kelly, I think of Paul Goldschmidt. So see ya, you know, Gabby Moreno in here.
It's like ending a 10-year relationship and then keeping like the most important thing that person bought you in the house. Like, they bought you a painting, you know what I mean? And keeping it in the house. Like, every time I look at Carson Kelly, I'm like, get out of here. Get out of here. I don't want to see you. MVP Paul Goldschmidt. I don't want to see it. But also, like, I'm a pretty big believer in Gabriel Moreno. I kept him pretty high in the prospect rankings for a while. Dynasty was there and everyone complained, oh, he can't hit. Once he started to learn to lift the ball, that was playing in well. Pretty good hard hit stuff we saw last year. And it's carried over. And he's an offensive catcher that is going to get a prime opportunity early on. And this is his chance.
Asking a lot of him.
It is asking a lot, but this is his chance to take it over where Carson Kelly never regains it. Because I think they'll keep Ali Sanchez or Jose Herrera, one of those two.
I think it's Herrera right now.
Yeah. Is it Herrera? I thought it'd be Ali Sanchez. So. But it's going to put Moreno in a situation where he is going to catch all of these guys and he's going to build the rapport and the team is going to do that. So once you get to Carson Kelly coming back and Gallen loves Moreno and Merrill Kelly loves Moreno, then this team is going to just have less excuses to put some garbage bat back in the lineup because of tenure. You know, that's what they love to do. And they're like, screw tenure. Let's get the offensive bat. Gabby can steal a little bit. He's not going to be Varsho, but he's going to be a lot more offense than people expect. And he's now very much on the radar in single catcher leagues. I would say like 100%. Like he probably, I haven't done
he's
the
10 or 11, right?
I think I'm going to have him at 11 or 12, which we will have rank updates on Friday at InThisLeague.com on the Patreon if you want a brand new one for this weekend. He's going to be a starting catcher in a single catcher and two catcher league. People are, you know, dancing in the streets right now, man.
They're Sean Murphy or Gabby Moreno?
Oh, Sean Murphy. Easy.
Then he would be 11. Raleigh.
That's an interesting one.
Raleigh, Ruiz, Vasquez. That's kind of the group here.
Yeah, well, I can't disclose it, but like Cal Raleigh is one of those guys that would be one of the huge beneficiaries to the shift. But I was talking with a certain person that writes articles at a big site about something that they're working on kind of a counter to what some baseball teams might do to extreme pull hitters, if you know what I mean, which might.
Two outfielders and five infielders.
It essentially has to do with, and Cal Raleigh might be one of the guys that you see with that. So I don't know. I think Moreno fits right in there. I think he's 11. I think he's my 11 guy, and I'm going to be pretty ecstatic about that. Some other ones in here we talked about. Fought. Jorge Polanco is going to start the year on the IO with knee soreness.
May.
Okay, well, still probably lame. Super lame.
Right.
Garrett Whitlock, according to Alex Cora, needs three more ramp-up starts, and then they'll put him in the rotation. So he would be set for the Red Sox fifth game of the year. That's good. Alex Cora also said that Masataka Yoshida is going to hit cleanup for the Red Sox. I got to tell you, after watching him as much as I did in the WBC, I've really changed my tune on him. His ability
to golf that one out. I mean, it was unbelievable. He picked it up off his shoe tops.
I still am very questionable about like the people that are like, he's going to hit 20 plus homers, but man, is he going to have impactful contact. He's going to have impactful contact this year. And he's a steal right now. He's going to go way up in my final ranking updates. I have tried to pick him in a couple spots. Speaking of Justin Turner, return to the lineup. So that's good for him. He was hit in the face not too long ago. Seiya Suzuki is progressing his hitting program, but he's going to most likely start the season on the IL. Likely back in mid-April. He is a target for me. Two guys that are targets for me right now, Joe Musgrove and Suzuki, who have those IL tags that people are scared of. I don't want to be. Even though Suzuki's is an oblique, the time frame is so much less. You're getting a big discount. I want him. What are you smiling about?
Are you going to Pokemon? Are you going to catch all the injured guys? Are you going to have Buxton and Jacob DeGrom on all your teams? What are you doing? Like
injure Pokemon. Catch them all. Someone do that. Someone Photoshop me with like four Pokemon characters around and they're all the injured guys. And I'm trying
someone.
To
do you know who you are? Do you know who Welsh is talking to? Someone.
That's,
it's like when Welsh says we to me and he means me. Like, you're not fooling anyone. Jag, he would like you to do something. So
Jag's been on a little hiatus right now. Jag, he might have stuff going on.
You gave him a break. Oh, thanks, boss.
Yeah. Give him a break. He's on extended break. He's been a little busy, but if someone wants to tackle it, let's just put me on the Pokemon catching all the injured guys. What's new, of course. Carlos Rodon felt good after a bullpen session on Saturday. They're saying that most likely he's going to miss around 2 to 3 weeks, which should be a standard IL stint to begin the year. I am still worried about him. Any pitcher with injuries, I'm worried about. I'm going to kind of cherry pick a couple of these right now. Jared Schuster and Dylan Dodd are competing for the last spot in the Braves rotation. I know a lot of people have talked about that. I don't have a ton of interest. Jared Schuster is interesting because he's one of the top Braves prospects. Dylan Dodd had a good start. Both disinteresting to me that they're going to be able to hold anything if people care about that. You talked about Jerks and Profar. I'm very much in on this one.
Hell yeah.
Him signing and leading off for the Rockies, 15 homers, 5 stolen bases last year. I think
leading off in Colorado is a great spot to be in, man.
Also, I think there's something to this is like a mental thing, but like he was on a team with a lot of like similar, you know, countrymen of like Machado, Leader, Tatis, his team. There are all these guys that were they kind of own this team. Yes, you're going to a place that like this is Chris Bryant's team. But there's really not other guys. There's not other guys like him like that. And he's on a contract type of year. He can run. He proved he could hit for big power, and Colorado provides just an extra barrier that I think he's a huge value right now. And he was in the 400s on Fantasy Pros ECR. ADPs on some sites are around the 260s. I think he's someone that could push into the 200s. I think he's somewhere in there. So I just think he's a value right now. I think you're in on that one too.
Absolutely. It's a great spot to be in. Way to be, Rockies. Sign your leadoff hitter 8 days before the season starts. Absolute great planning. Way to be. Nate, this is why people pick on the Rockies right here.
The most Rockies thing of all time was being like, hey, everybody, we traded for Nolan Jones. We have Elhuris Montero. And then breaking news, the Rockies signed Mike Moustakas and Jurickson Profar. It's the most Rockies thing ever. So, of course, they're going to do this. But both of those guys are kind of like really interesting late guys. Bruce Bochy named Robbie Grossman the Rangers' primary left fielder this year. I did not see that one coming. So, okay. He's going to be that. Brandon Nimmo.
Good enough to get released by the Tigers last year. So I thought he was going to be good. No, thanks. Yeah.
He's interesting too. Every time I see him too, he's just like a little tiny guy, a little tiny like muscle guy that's sitting out there. Did you get taller? A couple injury notes. Brandon Nimmo sprained his knee and ankle trying to break up a double play, but looks like he could be ready for opening day. Jared Kelnick is nursing some quad tightness, which we don't want to see. And he has just been ridiculous this spring.
Mr. Spring Training.
Yeah. And Alex Kirilloff might not be ready for opening day. That might be the most rinse and repeat thing we have said all season long. Alex Kirilloff, every single time. It is crazy.
It's every year. It's every year with him with the wrist, too. Like, just get a new wrist. Like, what are you doing? I mean, or cut it off. Do something. Quit playing baseball. Do something. Figure your wrist out.
Okay. What do you think is more wild? That we don't have flying cars or that we can't regenerate, like, organs yet?
Organs are number one.
That we can't do that? Did you know that scientists right now are working on bringing woolly mammoths back in the next like 10 years?
How about working on getting me a heart for the next 5 years?
Yeah, let me replace this liver.
Why don't you give me some new kidneys first? How about that?
I don't have a gallbladder anymore. I think I might need that. I've been eating a lot of fatty foods and I'm realizing I think I might need that thing more.
You mean every burp during the show doesn't remind you that you have your gallbladder out?
No, every time I go have like a big fatty meal and then I come home and I'm like, where's the bathroom? Like that, I realize like, oh, that might be part of that. So
I got my gallbladder and that happens to me. So I don't know.
Okay, so maybe it's not the gallbladder. So
it might not be the gallbladder. Right. Yeah.
We don't need woolly mammoths. We need new lungs and we need new kidneys. Yeah. And, you know, I might need a new toe too. That one's still bothering me. So
we know that. Yeah.
Get some of those.
Did that one turn black and fall off yet? I mean, you definitely need a new one soon.
Not yet. No, it's still rolling. But if I nudge it whatsoever.
If you showed it to your skin doctor, they would do the same thing they did to that thing.
Oh, my God, dude. Like, I'm going to do a video. I got to tell you this right now. Like, I'm going to tell this on air. So, and I've mentioned this a couple of times now, but I have this cherry angioma that was been under my eye forever. And like, if you know me, most people like forgot it exists, but like I always see it and it's there. And I finally got it taken care of and they lasered it and it is black. It is black. I'm just warning you. I'm going to give you a warning right now. Okay. You're going to laugh, but don't laugh so hard that it's going to hurt my feelings. All right.
All right.
I'm warning you as a friend. Like,
I'm holding mute over this. So,
all right. I'm warning. If you laugh too hard.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey,
in this league.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Huh?
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me. Not me.
Who would have thought?
Not me. Not me.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Who would have thought?
Not me. Not me.
Okay, what are you doing to me right now? You're putting me on the spot. I'm going to laugh just because you're saying this now.
Okay. You're going to owe me money if you laugh. What? So I care less in my life anymore about things. So instead of like cleaning it up, like, so the thing is going to go away in like a week and a half. Like it's going to be gone. So that's going to be cool. But in the meantime, it is so much more noticeable than it's ever been before. And super cool that I'm doing CBS, The Athletic, our ITL stuff. Fantasy Pros. Hey guys, I'm going to be on Fantasy Fest for 3 hours or 5 hours or whatever it is on Fantasy Pros. And this thing is on there.
It'd be so amazing if it fell off during Fantasy Fest.
That would actually be really funny. Pisa Pia texts me And it is a screenshot of a video we did on YouTube. And he goes, and he does smiley face. Don't laugh. Don't laugh. And someone's comment is, does that guy have a fly on his face? And then someone under it went, that's a tarantula. No?
I'm trying, man.
The tarantula one wasn't funny. The fly one was really funny. And I text Joe back and I was like, why would you send this to me? Why would you even send this to me? I'm like, he's like, yeah, I never look at the YouTube comments. And I'm like, so why are you doing it? And but that is what I set myself up for by not putting makeup on it.
Did you see someone?
I'm going to put makeup on it for Fantasy Fest.
You're not.
I'm on Fantasy Fest.
You are not doing that. It would be so much funnier if it just fell off your face in the middle of it. You know what?
Well,
put a bunch of, you know what? Put a bunch of makeup on it. I'm sure you screwing with it a bunch right before won't make it loose or anything. Right. Yeah. I don't know if you saw this today, but someone tweeted Fantasy Pros and said, I need a dollar every time Bogman says meat on the bone. So
no, they
doing it on Fantasy Pros as well. Yeah.
So, no, they didn't.
I'm doing way more on Fantasy Pros than I do here. We're talking about prospects all the time. Man. NFL draft prospects. So yeah, of course.
Yeah. It is definitely lamer being on that. But I was like, Joe, why would you do that? Like I've already said everybody, like someone's going to say something about this because it's so much more noticeable.
Oh, it's hilarious. Why are you being a baby? It's hilarious.
Oh, it's the funniest thing on the planet. Oh, we're all laughing.
Someone thought your scab was a fly on your face.
They
for
thought
the whole
it was a
show.
Fly on my
By
face.
The way, the fly never left. This is the only fly that doesn't buzz around your head for 10 seconds and then go right back to the same spot. It's the only fly that never left. Oh, you know what? Actually, it's a tarantula. You know what? Actually, it's a T-Rex.